The Supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging, and to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it. And leave no grief unless Thou takes it away. And leave no enemy. And leave no enemy unless Thou repelst him. By means of In the Name of Allah, the Best of the Names. In the Name of Allah, Lord of Earth and Heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O Patron of Beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum, and welcome to this program entitled Today's Special. You are listening to us from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about animal rights in Islam.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, حقق أمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا. Ya Allah, Ya Manan, حقق أمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا.
Grateful today for difference and change, for all colors and shades, 'cause you made it this way. وهبتنا النبراس في حب كل الناس أغدق لنا إحساس أنت هالينا.
Today, Monday, is the 30th of Rabiul Awwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 26th of Aban, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 16th of November, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Book of Allah. We'll look at chapter Al-An'am, verse 38.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما من دابة في الأرض ولا طائر يطير بجناحيه إلا أمم أمثالكم ما فرطنا في الكتاب من شيء ثم إلى ربهم يحشرون.
And there is no creature on or within the earth or bird that flies with its wings except that they are communities like you. We have not neglected in the register a thing. Then unto their Lord they will be gathered.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This verse speaks about resurrection and the general assemblage of all living creatures, all kinds of animals in hereafter. Thus, similar to human beings, each kind of animals and birds are a community by themselves. That is, they also have knowledge, awareness, and perception in their own conditions, and they know the Lord whom they glorify and sanctify as much as they are able to, although the standard of their perception is lower than that of human beings. According to Islam, how should animals be treated? The Quran acknowledges that many animals are of benefit to mankind for transport and other requirements, as mentioned in the Holy Quran, chapter 6, verse 9. And He has created horses and mules and says that you may ride them. Man also needs meat as a part of his diet, but even here we are taught how to slaughter animals in a humane way, such that they are killed instantly through a single cut. In circumstances where multiple animals are to be slaughtered, mankind is taught by Islam to do this in a way that the other animals do not witness the slaughter. This is the extent to which man has to consider the feelings of animals. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny is recorded as saying, "A man traveling along a road fell thirsty and went down a well and drank. When he came up, he saw a dog panting with thirst and licking the moist earth. This animal, the man said, is suffering from thirst just as much as I was. So he went down the well again, filled his shoe with water and taking it in his teeth, climbed out of the well and gave the water to the dog. God was pleased with his act and granted him pardon for his sins."
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi-nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the rights of animals as explicated and indicated in Islamic teachings. In case someone needs water for performing wudu, I mean ritual ablution for ritual purposes, but at the same time, there's another animal that must be survived, tayammum, a substitute of wudu, ritual ablution should be performed, and the water and the remaining water should be given to the animal because it's essential to support an animal and to prevent it from dying because of thirst. Another one is that if a person grows a farm of bees, when extracting the honey, not all honey to the last drop of honey should be extracted. Some honey must be left over for other bees for the survival. Another one is that if someone has an animal at home or on the farm, and at the same time this person who has an animal on the farm doesn't support his animal, for example horse, camel or mule or something else, the Muslim ruler of the region should force these people to support the animal, and this is one of the jobs expected from the Muslim ruler. In case that Muslim ruler himself cannot do it, it's essential for this Muslim ruler to hire other people to do the same job for the animal of that person.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Ethics of treating animals in Islam. You are following today's special from IRIB English Radio. And now, ethics of treating animals in Islam, not using offensive words. Using abusive and offensive words is not only remorseful to be used about human beings, but also a Muslim is not permitted to use them even about animals. For this reason, Imam As-Sadiq, peace be upon him, has regarded not using foul language against animals as a right that has to be respected by men towards animals. The Apostle of Allah said, when the animal that is being ridden by someone disobeys and its owner says, "Oh, miserable," to it, the animal will answer back, "Miserable is the one who is more disobedient to the Lord." The Apostle of Allah heard someone cursing his camel. He told him, "Go back and do not accompany us with the camel that has been offended." The commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, said about animals, "Do not curse them, because God curses the curser."
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, "Please save me," except Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها لنا يوم القيامة. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا لها.
Why animals matter. We now have a view of animals that shows them not merely as resources, but as creatures depend on Allah. Animals are seen to have their own lives and purpose, valuable to themselves and to Allah above and beyond any material value that may provide to humanity. There is a rich tradition of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, concern for animals to be found in the Hadith and Sunnah. For example, the Prophet Muhammad condemned the beating of animals and forbade striking, branding, or marking them on the face. He cursed and chastised those who mistreated animals and gave praise to those who showed kindness.
Every creature has a type of salah. They all know how to perform their own formal communion with Allah, salah. And they all do tasbih. Any animal, any creature that you encounter, that creature does more tasbih than you. In fact, what's interesting, if you look at the Quran carefully, if you study the Quran, you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't tell us that animals do dhikr. They do tasbih. They don't do dhikr. Malaika, angels, they don't remember Allah. They glorify Allah. They do tasbih. They don't do dhikr. The only being that is invited to do dhikr is the human being. Because what does the word dhikr mean? Remembrance. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira. Oh, you who believe, remember God abundantly. Allah only tells the human being to engage in remembrance. Animals, trees, the heavens and the earth, they do tasbih. Why? Because dhikr implies that this creature has a propensity to forget. Animals don't forget Allah. The heavens, then the earth, they don't forget Allah. So Allah doesn't tell angels or animals or trees to remember me. They never forgot Him. But human beings, we have a tendency to forget.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/en. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and let us start the day by contemplating upon what the leader of the pious and the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, has said about the vicissitudes of life. Opportunities pass away like the clouds. Therefore, make use of good opportunities.
Thank you.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here
I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. There's this fascinating tradition that I came across, and I would like to share it with you today. It is quite a, you know, a hadith or a tradition that looks, and on the outside, that, you know, what does it actually mean? It is something that, you know, we either experience it or we don't experience it. It's either that we learn from it or we don't learn from it. You know, it is depending on that person's ability to understand what is happening and, you know, take lessons from it. And this also requires, as the first part of the tradition says, that this person has to have a certain relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order for this to occur. It cannot just happen to anybody. This is clear from the first part of the tradition. And it also is an individual who has put certain efforts in order to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or try to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to perform his duties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on him. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned and says that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for a servant, so here we can see that it's not just anybody, it's not just everybody who gets this type of, you know, favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a servant. So therefore this person has obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's considered a servant and abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to favor him with something extra, because he is deserving of it. That he might be doing something within his life, or he's doing everything well, but there's something that, you know, that is stopping him from reaching the next level, for example. Or there's something stopping him from gaining another blessing, for example. These are just examples. So the Holy Prophet then continues and says that if Allah wants to do this for a particular servant, he senses him in his dreams, that this person is given a warning within his dreams that stop this, don't do this. Again, how it actually occurs, what the person will see in his dream, Allah knows best. But this is again is a very beautiful tradition that says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really only wants his servants and his, you know, his beloved's creation to reach him, to get closer to him. And if there is something that this person, for example, has no other way to find out that he's doing something wrong, or he doesn't trust anybody else because of whatever reason he sees that, you know, he cannot trust them or they are lacking of knowledge or whatever else it may be, but obviously this is not in a negative sense, that he says that, okay, I need to be told, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then decides to show this person, this slave of his, this abd, that, you know, this is what you are doing wrong. And he shows it to him in his dream. And we have a big discussion on dreams and stuff that is done in Irfan and in philosophy and in also in fiqh. But again, this is something that a person himself, as I mentioned in the beginning, can either understand or not understand. And it depends on his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so on and so forth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist us in knowing what he wants from us. And if we don't, for him to guide us and to assist us where necessary. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. In the new series of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, first we're going to have some quotes about the Quran by some Western scholars. Then we're going to listen to some verses of the Noble Quran recited by one of the famous reciters from around the world. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed of the Noble Quran, is going to analyze the recitation. And finally, at the end, you're going to listen to a segment called Attractiveness of the Noble Quran by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. The audience, stay tuned. Shelby Shamil, 1853 to 1917, who is a special student of Darwin, has said, Prophet of Islam took attentions of human being wisdom towards him by Quran eloquence. Dear audience, now we invite you to listen to the recitation of verse 26 to 32 of Surah Al-Zukhruf, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Aziz Hassan, preceded by its English translation.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. And when Abraham said to his father and his people, Verily I am innocent of what you worship, except him who created me, and verily he will guide me. and he made it a word lasting among his offspring, that they may turn back. Nay, but I gave to these and their fathers to enjoy, till there came to them the truth and a messenger making things clear. And when the truth came to them, they said, This is magic, and we disbelieve therein. And they say, Why isn't this Quran sent down to some great man of the two towns? Is it they who would portion out the mercy of your Lord? It is we who portion out between them their livelihood in this world, and we raised some of them above others in ranks, so that some may employ others in their work. But the mercy of your Lord is better than that which they amass.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ قال إبراهيم لأبيه وقومه إنني براء مما تعبدون إلا الذي فطرني فإنه سيهدين وجعلها كلمة باقية في عقبه لعلهم بل متعت هؤلاء وآباءهم حتى جاءهم الحق ورسول مبين ولما جاء وقالوا لولا نزل هذا القرآن على رجل من القريتين عظيم أهم يقسمون رحمة ربك نحن قسمنا بينهم معيشتهم في الحياة الدنيا ورفعنا بعضهم فوق بعض درجات ليتخذ بعضهم بعضا سخريا ورحمة ربك خير مما يجمعون صدق الله العلي العظيم
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. And what you just listened to was the recitation of Surah Az-Zukhruf, verses 26 to 32, by Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Aziz Hassan. And now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the tajweed rules. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِّمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ قَالَ And the word قَالَ, we have a letter with استِعْلَاء, with a characteristic of استِعْلَاء, meaning we have to pronounce it with تَفْخِيم. قَالَ we open the mouth vertically when pronouncing the qaf. Ibrahim. The ra in Ibrahim is also pronounced with tafkhim because it has aliful mad. Of course, the aliful mad is not written, but you will see that there is a small alif written next to the ra above it. Above the ra, you'll see that there is a small alif, which is called alif maqsura, or small alif. Ibrahim li'abihi wa qawmihi. Again, the qaf has tafkhim. Wa qawmihi innani bara'un mimma ta'budun. In the word bara'un, we have madul muttasil. Mad wajibul muttasil. It is necessary that we lengthen this mad to at least four vowel counts, and at most five vowel counts. Bara'un. Why is that? Because there is a hamza after this long vowel, and hamza, whenever it comes after a long vowel, it causes mad. If the hamza is in the same word as the mad, as the long vowel, then matul muttasil takes place. If it's in a different word, matul munfasil takes place, such as in waqawmihi innani. It's jaizul munfasil. It's a optional mad. Okay, so it's not mandatory to lengthen matul munfasil to four vowel counts or five vowel counts, but you are allowed to do that. إلا الذي فطرني فإنه سيهدين فإنه. We have إشباع of ها الضمير, and the word فإنه, the ها has to be pronounced like a long vowel because it's preceded by a letter with a حركة, with a short vowel. إلا الذي فطرني فإنه سيهدين وجعلها كلمة باقية. كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً. What's going on here? We have إِقْلَاب of نُون ساكنة here, which means that the نُون ساكنة is pronounced like a ميم that is pronounced with إخفاء. So first, the نُون is ميم, and then the ميم is a ميم with إخفاء. إخفاء means, إخفاء of ميم means that you don't close the mouth completely. You leave it a little bit open. And and you allow some of the sound to come from the mouth as well, and then you make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. And we're out of time. Unfortunately, we don't have time to continue discussing the next verses, so that's it for today's program.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. There was a companion of the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم whose name was Lubayd. And this individual, alhamdulillah, lived a very fruitful life. It is mentioned in some traditions and in some books of history and in some books of biographies. This individual lived to about 157 years or 145 years. For 90 years of his life, he was a mushrik, he was not a Muslim. But for the rest of his life, from about 90 onwards, he became a Muslim and became a staunch supporter of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is also mentioned that he was a poet, and a very powerful poet, a poet who was known amongst the Arabs and amongst those in Mecca. And it is mentioned that, you know, he was asked to recite poetry many times after he became Islam, and he refused to do it. And the reason for that is because he himself understood that why should I recite poetry when the Quran is amongst us? And he himself mentions, and we will mention two stories from this individual. It's possible that these two stories are one story that kind of got separated or kind of got confused, but in the books they are seemed like two different stories. But it has come with the same result. So it could be said that they are the same story. So on the first one that we will mention here is that this individual was asked to recite some poetry, and he replies
And the person who asked him was the second Khalif. He said, why don't you recite some poetry? Because obviously the second Khalif knew him. And he says, recite some poetry for us. And he says this very beautiful sentence. He says that after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught me Surah Baqarah, that Allah now has brought down and revealed to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Surah Baqarah, the second surah of the Holy Quran, I feel that there is no need for me anymore to recite poetry. Or he says that I will never ever recite poetry after this. There's no need for me to recite anything. Why? Because Surah Baqarah is there. The Holy Quran is there. What is my poetry compared to this? We come to the second story that I mentioned previously. The story goes as such, that the second Khalif writes a letter to Mughira. Now Mughira, obviously, according to the tradition, may have been in Kufa, may have been the governor of Kufa at that time. So he writes to his governor, Mughira, in Kufa, and tells him that, oh Mughira, ask the poets of the city to send their poetry that they have either, you know, recited or compiled, that they have compiled or after they accepted Islam. So basically, you know, not those poets that they have either recited or compiled while in the age of ignorance or in Jahiliyyah, no. Those poets and those poems which they have compiled and recited after they ever accepted Islam. And then the news reaches Lubayd. And the request from Lubayd, oh Lubayd, why don't you also recite a poem? So Lubayd then asks, he says, a poem from the time of ignorance or from the time of after Islam? He says, no, from the time of Islam onwards. So he says to them that, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has replaced the poetry with this. What was this? It is mentioned in the story that this individual Lubayd took a piece of paper and he wrote upon this piece of paper Surah Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran. And he said to them that, look, this has been the replacement of poetry. These verses of the Holy Quran, the power of the verses of the Holy Quran, the beauty of the verses of the Holy Quran, the rhetoric, the eloquence, our poetry cannot match it. Why should we give you something that is weaker and of less significance than the verses of the Holy Quran? Again, it is mentioned that the second Khalif became very happy with this and what was mentioned by Lubayd. And second Khalif obviously then gave this individual extra from the Baytul Mal. Inshallah, my dear brothers and sisters, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان القرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق هو القرآن.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أو you who believe استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
منبر, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is the way of life.
a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
Brothers and sisters, the topic that we've been trying to explore over the last couple of nights has been that of oppression and injustice and seeking an understanding of different manifestations of injustice and how we can go about dealing with that. Every single act of injustice that we do reflects itself in ourself. And one of the Mufassirin of the Quran, Ayatollah Jawadi Amali, rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that when somebody commits an act of injustice, it's as if there are two selves that are involved. It's a nice way of looking at it. There are two selves that are involved. There's that one self, which is that self which is filled with unjustified anger or unjustified lust or has lost control over their intellect. They are deliberately trampling on the rights of God. They're violating the rights of others. They're lashing out. They're not controlling themselves. That's one soul that is the actor involved in committing this dhulm. They're the zalim. But there's another soul, another I. For example, let's say I'm the one who's committing it. There's another I which is actually the madhulum. Right? I might be lashing out at a family member unjustly, treating them in a certain way, but actually, and in an outer level, they're the madhulum. But actually, I'm the madhulum. And what I'm doing is this incredibly beautiful amana that Allah has given, that's meant to be a very, very lofty creation of Allah. What I'm doing is I'm putting it in its wrong place. I'm not filling it with what it's supposed to be filled with. In the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt, we're told that the heart, the spiritual heart, you know, that other eye that I was talking about, is a sacred territory. It's not meant to be filled with pollution. It's not meant to be filled with just, you know, anything. In one hadith, Al-Qudsi, Allah Ta'ala is reported to have said that لا يسعني أرضي ولا سمائي. My earth and my heavens can never encompass me. ولكن يسعني قلب عبدي المؤمن. That which can encompass me is the heart of my servant who is a believer. Brothers and sisters, that hadith, I think it's worth committing to memory, it's worth writing down, it's worth pondering upon. It's one of those very, very key teachings that we have. And really, like, it explains a lot and it's something to strive towards. Allah Ta'ala is unlimited. And what can encompass and what can contain the unlimited but the unlimited? And so when a human being looks at themselves and they look at themselves from a material perspective, they say that I'm limited. No, you're shortchanging yourself. Look at yourself as something that is created for the unlimited. And on a practical level, brothers and sisters, I think that it's a very important, there's a practical point we can take from this, which is that when we stand in front of God for our salah, when we sit and open His book, when we whisper to Him, and sometimes we don't feel that connection, and we feel that our hearts are dry, and there's friction on that connection, or however you want to explain it, then maybe we need to ask ourselves this question, which is that what is it that is filling my heart that is not allowing the rightful owner to be present there? In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he says, Al-qalbu haramullah. The heart is the sanctuary of God. And I know you've heard these hadith before. Maybe every year there's a speaker who comes here and they say the same hadith. But I know that I myself need this reminder, so inshallah you can benefit as well. Al-qalbu haramullah, fala tuskin haramullah illallah. Very simple. The heart is the sanctuary of Allah. Do not cause anything to dwell inside there save Allah. So on a practical level, I stand for prayer and I'm not getting that connection. I'm reading these stories of the imams and their companions, and they used to be filled with tears. Imam Khomeini rahmatullahi alayhi would recite his prayer and he would need a towel in order to dry the tears. And I'm like, I'm not feeling that. Well, ask yourself, what is filling your heart? What's going on here? What is it that I'm doing wrong? You know, whose rights am I violating that's causing this dhulm to enter into my heart? In one sermon, Imam Ali says that, you know, take care of that which is most precious to you, which is your own self. They say that one of the great scholars, Sayyid Ibn Tawus, rahmatullahi alayh, who is one of those, they say he's one of the kummalin, or they have different expressions for him, but one of those who had reached a very high level of awareness and spirituality and perfection. And at times he had special communication with the Imam of the time, Ajala Farjah al-Sharif. They say that one time he had a guest who came home. And unlike normal, Sayyid ibn Tawus didn't give him that same amount of respect that he would have given normally to a guest. He's a little bit kind of cold about it, a little bit Western. Just, you know, yeah, okay. Here's your stuff. Okay, if you need me, give me a call. Here's the Wi-Fi password. Okay. You know, that sort of thing. So he just wasn't as warm and hospitable that he should have been. And the next morning, when he rises for the night prayer, he notices that it's not the same. Like that connection isn't there. That yearning and that pull and that concentration, whatever, it's not the same. And later on that day, that man comes to him and he says that because of what you did, they took that away from you. And so this guest, I guess maybe he thought that he was just an ordinary person, but he had some sort of special knowledge, right? He understood what had happened. And when we look at these type of stories, right, we can say on one hand that, okay, that's Sayyidina, why are you telling me about Sayyidina Tawus? I'm not even like half of that. I'm not even a quarter of that. And it's not, what's the point of talking about them? But it's very important because we need to understand that this is the type of ideal that the Ahlul Bayt had envisioned for us when it comes to having relationships and having communities. Community is not just a building. A community is not just, you know, 10 days in Muharram. A community is having this type of care and this type of love. Remember the tradition from yesterday where the Imam Ali Salam talks about how 99% of God's mercy goes to the one who has more love in his or her towards the other one. Right? And that applies in so many different circumstances, in whether it be our families or our communities. And I want to just give a word of caution to myself first and foremost, and then to all of the brothers and sisters, that when we read about these things, we hear about them, we got to think about how they apply to us. This man at the garden who's like, okay, I have this and I have that, that's an example to anybody who is proceeding in their journey towards acquiring more and more of the dunya, right? Which is pretty much anybody, right? Because that's what this whole society is geared towards producing, right? So as I progress and I start getting more responsibilities, more positions, you know, I become this and that, whatever, what's happening to me? What's happening to my soul, right? Is that also, you know, finding a path towards light and towards the remembrance of God and towards the spiritual destination towards which it's intended to reach?
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRI RIB English Radio.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran, for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters, salamun alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, this is Islamic Upbringing, broadcasting from Iran. We discuss the problems and questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. The answers that you'll be hearing are mostly based on the book Children in the Quran and Sunnah, compiled by Ayatollah Ray Shahri. And to help us with our questions, we have in our studio our guest speaker, Brother Miqdad, who is an Islamic researcher in the Hawza Almiya of Qom. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Miqdad. Welcome to the program, and thanks for giving us your time.
Wa alaikum salam, rahmatullah. The pleasure is all mine.
Okay, so this is the third episode on this question, which reads, my three-year-old is very cranky and moody, cries a lot. I've tried everything like giving sweets and telling her off, but it just doesn't work. Now, in response, you explained the physical needs of a child. There might be some problem there, their sleep, their nutrition. And then we moved on to their emotional needs. We explained that they need attention, they need to feel loved, they need to feel secure in their family, and how that parents, especially fathers, need to give importance to the family. Family isn't just about providing them with money. It's about demonstrating your love and dedication to them, giving them your time. And we also said that children need to be respected. They need to feel that they are respected. And sometimes sudden changes in life, like a grandfather or grandmother who had come to visit and has now left, or a holiday which is over, might make a child feel like there is a gap in their life, and therefore they might become cranky, but that will be fixed after time. Now, up to now, we've always been talking, we've tried to do a little bit of guesswork and research about what the problem is. How about sitting down with the child and asking the child himself or herself,